Alright, we're there.
Who are we missing?
Madigan and DeMickey.
Okay.
And Karen was here a minute ago. She's still here.
She's still here, yeah.
We've got...
You do have a quorum, so...
Hutch Kataski, Craig. And Jerry's on that phone?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I am.
Has anybody heard from Madigan or DeMickey?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I know Dave is out of state, but I think he was going to participate remotely. But let's call a meeting to order. Regular meeting of the building committee, 7:03, Tuesday, May 3rd. Got to do, and let's see, everybody's here except Madigan and DeMickey on the building committee.
I got them. Peter Ron just wrote to me. He says he's not able to log in either. I'll try to resend to him, you know, as well, and see what happens.
All right.
Yeah. Hi, Sarah.
It's a pregnant pause. We already started. We're going to go through the agenda, but welcome to David Stein. I haven't seen for a long time. Nice to see you again, Dave. And is it Paul Jorgensen? Right? I know you're muted.
Yeah.
Dave Dixon. We already ferreted you out to make sure you weren't Dave. You weren't concealing yourself as Dave Madigan. And do we know Jason?
Yeah, Jason is also with our team. He's with SLR. He's with David. He's our civil landscape architect.
Okay. What's helpful, I just want to get everybody identified because Dawn, who is the secretary for the building committee, is not on with us tonight, but she will listen to these this meeting recorded tomorrow. So that gives her some sense of...
recording in progress.
Oh, there it is.
Bye, sir.
And now we can't hear Bob.
She might miss the first couple minutes, but other than that, she'll be fine.
I'm sure she'll miss it desperately. So we're gonna plow onward, hoping that DeMickey and Madigan join us. But we do have a quorum for the committee, and we go to public participation. Is there anybody who wishes to be heard from the public? Seeing none, we'll move on to item three, which is the meeting minutes from last month. And anybody who has read those and has comments or clarifications is welcome to speak up. I often like to start with Karen because she's such an astute reader and careful.
Thank you. Careful craftswoman. Okay, the minutes, I think you had, Peter, you alluded to before is that on roll call, the full members of the committee should be part of the present, not also present, which I believe is Jerry and Tom.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody from fire and EMS is part of the building committee and should be listed at the top.
Correct. So that was my first thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. On page two, paragraph number three, it's actually the one it says Ms. Berry moved to recommend to the Board of Selectmen that Silva Petroselli and Associates is hired to do the architectural and engineering services instead of is preferred to do. I would say I'd like to be it's hired to do the architectural and engineering services.
Yeah.
And I think that's all I have.
Okay. I have, anybody else has comments? I've got to go let the dog out, sorry.
I've got Ron on, but he needs to be unmuted, so let me see what
I can
do.
Just a sec, sorry. Maybe it's more efficient after all to meet in person down at community center.
Well, I mean, everyone else is on. Bob, are you able to unmute him? There he is.
just did. You should be on.
Yep. I see him. Hi, Ron.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hi, Ron.
Okay. How's everybody?
Good. Ron, we're going through minutes. Do you have anything from April 5 minutes?
Yeah, page 2, first paragraph, last sentence, where it says PNBC pay attention to material costs. I'd like to change it to pay attention to material costs in the PNBC. We'll work with the architect to specify durable materials.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Craig, Tom, Jerry, anybody?
I wasn't on the meeting, so I have no corrections.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Okay. I'm good with the minutes.
I want to just work on that first paragraph in item 4. Just to have a rewording, Reynolds thanked, instead of participants, let's say the interview committee.
Okay, that works.
And then for their, instead of input slash support, let's put time and input on the interviews. Actually, the interview committee, Ron, Jerry, Bob Skinner, Glenn, was Bobby Martin part of that?
Yes.
And Bobby Martin, I think that's everybody. Because mm-hmm. everybody joined us and they gave us comments, and I that should be reflected. So the interview committee, comma, Ron, comma, Jerry, comma, Bob S., Bob M., and Glenn, for their time and input on the interviews that took place and in preparing an evaluation summary. So that should be the first sentence. And the second should scratch the first sentence of the second paragraph and substitute. Each interviewer provided comments to explain their evaluation, and then you can go on to the next sentence as it was crafted. PNBC members and town staff. I don't think we had additional fire personnel. The fire personnel are members of the PNBC, so it should just say PNBC members and town staff are in agreement that Silver Petrocelli and Associates is the preferred company to, instead of do professional services, I'd say engage for professional services for the new firehouse. And while there definitely were favorable comments, I was going to propose that we strike those from strike the rest of the paragraph, including, I just don't think we need to,
okay,
to spell all that out. And so now we're on page 2, and the line that begins, Mr. Zano will discuss compliance and regulations with Mr. Stein and confirm that the project will be completed on time, that there is clarification with Task 5 alternate. Is that right, Glenn? Is that what you were going to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I can live with that then. Karen has amended the next paragraph, which is good. And the last paragraph that starts Mr. Pisano, Mr. Martin will comprise, it should, I think, be compile,
mm-hmm.
a list of in-house activity. And I don't know, in-house activity for abatement, et cetera. I just say in-house activities
mm-hmm.
rather than for, because we don't need the specific details. And I just have one further question, which I believe is probably for you, Bob Skinner, about the parenthetical at the end about adjournment. There was no motion or second. I think that the chair adjourns. I don't think the chair needs a motion to adjourn. Am I right about that?
I don't know. I've always seen it as a motion and then a vote. But I've never seen a vote to adjourn fail. So, I don't think you'll get a lot of contest on that one way or the other.
By acclamation. Well, I obviously have an expansive view of my authority as chairman, and I thought the chair opened and closed the meeting, but I'll be happy to
certainly open it. I just have always seen it done by a motion, but I don't, beyond that, I don't know.
Well, I intend to fall into line henceforth. So,
good.
Any other comments on the April 5 meeting minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve as amended?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Who seconded?
Ron did.
Okay. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's a unanimous passage. Okay, moving rapidly to item four, which is the new project. And we've got some material in our package from Silver Petrocelli, and we'll move into that, and we're going to talk about that. I think we need to make some, I don't know if we have to make a decision about delivery method tonight, but we probably want to talk about that and get some understanding on the details of the material that we do have, which in our package is pages 3 through 8. But I did want to welcome Dave and Paul and Jason and Dave to Canton and to the building committee. It's nice to be doing another project with you, Dave and Paul, who we do know and have done things, worked on this project before, and we go way back with Dave to the DPW, and you helped us with some good roof replacement projects as well, and it's nice to have you here and be working together again. I know you know a lot about this project, and we're very hopeful about what we can accomplish despite some of the challenges of the construction market these days.
Well, I'll echo that. It is good to see everybody. It's been a time, right? The last 2 years have kind of been a blur. So I think the last time we were face to face was somewhere in the fall of 19 or so, right? When we were kind of talking about this project and even thinking that 2021, 22, when you had that in your sort of waterfall projections and so forth. So time does go by fast. Yes, thank you. We are excited to get the project started and getting the good word from Bob and Glenn over the last few weeks and our letter of award and so forth. So, you know, we like to keep that same continuity of the team. As you know, Paul and I worked closely with you on that. I'll remain the principal in charge and Paul will be the project manager. And then I'm sure there's others on our team that you'll meet. Dave Dixon and Jason Morehouse from SLR. I think that Dave has some experience with working in town. We have done many projects with Dave's group at SLR. They're really kind of our go-to civil engineering group and have a few projects sort of going on right now, whether it's school projects or other municipal projects. So I think their experience, and Dave could jump in or Jason to give you just a brief overview. I know you saw it through our interview, but just the understanding of, you know, the complexity of these type of projects from civil to landscaping to, you know, just good stormwater management, sight lines, traffic. They have all that expertise in-house, which, as our team, is all in-house with mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and fire protection. So I think bringing a team together that could get the project off its foot, not only with just the other experience of projects that we are doing. We do, and just lastly, before I just turn it to Dave to just give a quick intro on his group, we have other firehouses kind of in the mix of design right now. So, you know, what we're telling each of our clients is as we're doing the exploration of costs and timeline and supply chain issues, you know, we're going to be sharing that intel across, and I think that's just going to be helpful. But it also goes back to what other departments are contemplating with their designs and their systems and their organization and so forth. So, you know, none of this is really sort of confidential. The fire departments, you know, clearly work together in that. So I know we're in Norfolk right now working on their department in a very early schematic design phase. I've mentioned that we're starting this project. They're willing to share their ideas, vice versa. So I just wanted to mention that to this group that you know, when you embark on a project like this, there's resources outside that are helpful to either draw comparisons on or so forth. So Dave, I didn't know if you wanted to say anything or not.
Dave, thank you very much. I have been under the weather for the last couple of days, so I'll push through this. Jay is here as well to support me in the event that I start losing my voice. As always, we really love working with Silver Petrocelli. We're happy to be in town again. I live in Burlington, have for the last 30 years. I think the first project that I did in town was the Rails to Trail project. And when we crossed over the Farmington River and went into the Axe Company, and then through the downtown, we've done some downtown planning work with you all. Now I know there's a lot of other, but it escapes me at this point. But a little bit about SLR. SLR was formerly Mylona McBroom, MMI. You probably know us better from that. There really is no difference in the services that who we are now as SLR as compared to MMI. We provide a survey, traffic, landscape architecture, civil engineering, environmental, and geo. We're kind of a one call covers all, and we're always pleased to work with Silver. So it's good to be back in town, and we look forward to a good project. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
So Peter, based on your agenda and scope of services and so forth, I'm not really sure how deep a dive you want to get into. I know there's some questions when I read through your packet on some non-construction cost worksheet and so forth, where there's questions on the different task line items. Paul and I are kind of prepared to go through that and just begin to talk about the first step of this. As we mentioned in the interview, the task one, review and analysis of the existing conceptual site plan or building design or elevation, so forth. We approached this knowing that we were doing a feasibility from the beginning, but that's what it was. It was in the context of getting this ready to demonstrate the shape and identify a cost so you can bring that to the public for vote. Yes, there was a lot there in that design, but we recognize that we now are working with a different, with the user group and really getting down to the next level of detail. So there's no preconceived notion in our mind. We understand the good work that was done by the group, but our first task is we'd like to sit down and have a multitude of meetings with your user groups, if the department has that segregated or whether or not this wants to be sort of a group session. We're amenable and we're able to do this in any different format, whether it's sitting around the table or, doing a virtual meeting. We'd like to re-engage that. It's been a while, obviously, since we've had the opportunity to do that with the group. And I understand there's different leadership. We want to start and go over this program again. And that's what's part of your package, I think, on page 3 that you have, is go through that program. That becomes the roadmap of what we start with. It starts identifying square footages, but then there needs to be sort of a deeper understanding of those spaces and what's going to fit in there with its equipment. Now, at the same time as we're going through the program, I'd like our engineers to be talking with you about the system design, because there's many different options of mechanical systems and obviously sustainability and energy efficiency, and also simplicity of operability of those systems need to take place. So we want to run that parallel. We think it's important to run that parallel. So as we're making plan decisions, we're also thinking about kind of what goes behind the walls and what goes up in the attic and how that's all fed. If we sort of do it separately, it becomes sort of a disconnect, and later on, you have to kind of backtrack a little bit to make it work. We are going to be constructing this project virtually, three-dimensionally in the computer. So it's going to allow us to sort of visualize the volume of the space, and it'll help you. We could put together some three-dimensional views and kind of walk you through the space as we continue to develop it. So as we start through the programming, which is really task number one, that'll accompany to an updated floor plan, and it may take a few versions or reiterations to get to something that really everyone is comfortable with. Now, it may be very close to what we have here. My guess, there's items that are missing that I could already see in the plan that need to be further developed, such as the decon area and sort of site circulation and just entry points and so forth, that I think we need to talk with you about separation between the apparatus bays and living quarters and such. And then running parallel, sort of that three-legged stool here, is the site piece that Dave's team is going to need to start working on. And because our site plan development was really with a very general survey, so they will be looking at stormwater management, soil conditions, traffic, utilities, so forth. So that there's still a lot of work to take place with that. That will happen in the initial piece. And then obviously reconciliation of an estimate and also a timeline. One thing that we're seeing here that sort of colliding not only with just cost escalation, that's something that I think most estimators could get somewhat of a handle on. You know, you could start reaching out to vendors and they'll give you a general sense of that. The issue is the delay of just sourcing the materials, and what then will happen is your contractor is going to say, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get that in 12 weeks like I used to. I better extend out my overall time to build this, which then has an effect on their general conditions and their operational costs. So not only are you tackling escalation of just the material alone, you're waiting. You now have to wait for material, which means there's sort of a pause in between. You know, in the past, the contractor can schedule the work, have the materials virtually delivered when they're ready to go, as opposed to it all being delivered at one time and sitting on the site. So it's a little difference of a sequence, and we'll talk about things that could potentially be either ordered early or identified as items that could be better sourced. And that should really take place in the task one. Getting further along down the line, I think we don't have those conversations. That's going to be a challenge. So part of the deliverable of phase one, and then I'll turn it back with questions, because I'm sure there are some from the group, is, you know, our deliverable per the RFP is we will be doing plans, we will be doing elevations, we will be doing a narrative of the mechanical systems, and then a cost estimate as its first pass, sort of reconciliation. And once that sort of memorialized by a group, that pivots us into task number two. So with that, I'll turn it back over for questions and to the group.
Well, I got one question for Glenn. Can you bring up on the screen for everybody the what is page three in the material, or is that not possible?
Yeah, I think I can do that. Hang on. You see this? You guys see it all?
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
Let me scroll down to it. Wait a minute. Okay, page 3.
Here we go.
It's hard to see on this, too.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I can try to zoom in on it, if that might help you.
Yeah, or I could try to walk you through it.
A little bit better.
If you recall, this was just an exhibit of what we did, and it's dated September 16th, 2019.
Yeah.
So that's what I recall, kind of where we last left off with that program. We color-coded them in a way so it was easily distinguishable on the floor plan. That may be on the plan, but basically it was broken up between what's shown here and kind of that purple as the administrative area, in yellow the multi-purpose area, and then our next zone, and we were calling these zones, so I think it's zone 1, zone 2, zone 3 is the apparatus and the vehicle storage, which included the 4 apparatus bays and then the ancillary spaces that were coming along there, which I think it's about 8,600 square feet or so, if I recall. And even my printout that I have in front of me here is a little difficult to read. We then had the operational area, which dealt with the watch room, store, security equipment, which is like teledata rooms, janitorial closet, and then electrical. And then we had the living quarters, which consisted of a ready room, the kitchen, on a smaller commercial style kitchen, you know, not a full-blown kitchen, but that's obviously up for discussion. The pantry, closet, and then were locker rooms, male and female. And then there were sleeping quarters that we had that were also sort of flexible if need be. The gymnasium, or I should say just the fitness area, is really what it amounted to. And then the circulation, which was really just the corridors and any other ancillary space. And then just the structure, which was just the gross square footage of, you know, the overall structure, walls, and so forth. So these square footages were inside of walls, and then the outside was made up just through the structure piece of it. The rendering that you see there, the intent was the structure was going to be fairly simplistic in terms of its overall proportions and plan. A pitched roof, siding, could be a cementitious board siding, you know, all very resilient, maintenance sensitive in terms of that. I don't use the word maintenance free because that's never the case, but this would not be wood or anything like that that would need annual painting. An envelope that would be well insulated, and if anything, we're talking about sustainability, that's the one thing we're going to promote, is that you super insulate your building envelope. That's going to pay dividends on heating and electric bills with your heat and cooling gain loads. And then the floor plan, as you saw, was there. But again, we know that we're going to come back to you. We want to sit down and go over this again and really build up from the top down this program again and make sure that it falls in place. We know we have a budget to adhere to, so we're going to identify whether there's items that may get requested and see whether or not we can make that happen. Our goal is, even as you noted in your amended minutes, it's choosing the right materials that are durable. So we want to talk about finish and fit on all of that. So I'll turn it back again, Peter. I'm happy to answer any more sort of questions.
Thanks, Glenn. I thought that we'd seen that before. I was just having trouble reading all the lines, and but I know it's in our material, and Dave's given us a reminder and a summary. Let's just turn it to committee members to see if regarding task 1, write-up here that we've just heard from David on. Anybody have any questions?
I just have a question, and it's not necessarily the task itself, but it's the drawing. I thought we had 5 bays going into this instead of 4. Didn't we? Right. Am I correct on that? Because I think Dave Stein alluded to the 4, or the drawing is 4 bays, and I don't know if the conversation has gotten backwards. We asked, you know, for the additional bay.
I think this may be an old rendering. It started at 5, and at one point it was cut to 4, and I think it was brought back to 5.
I thought it was brought back to 5, and I just don't want all this work to go and then say, okay, we wanted 5.
Bob?
Yeah, I've got a question. Dave, what's your plan for getting input from the department as far as programming needs go? What's your, you know, you have thoughts on that in the time frame for doing that?
Yeah, so our thought is the best way of doing it is just to meet with the user group and present this plan and, you know, bring up those exact questions. It's like, are we 4? Are we 5? We want to validate your equipment. It's been, you know, 2+ years since we've, that you may have bought different equipment, meaning apparatus. And we want to make sure that, you know, where those may be positioned, because we did test fit this out with, you know, placing them in there. Now, the design was intended that, you know, you have multiple, you know, locations to do that, but we want to talk about that. So, Bob, we want to meet with the group, whomever you tell us is the right group that may be sort of your leadership to present this plan, talk about it, and look at this program that we just had in front of you.
I guess I'd be looking for the you know, the department members maybe to you know, clarify that a little bit, what they think is the best approach. Is it meet with the, you know, the membership? Is it meet with just the officers? Is it that this board, the members of this board would bring back to the PNBC that information? You know, what are you guys' thoughts on that? Because I'm a little unclear as to how that would happen.
I don't think you want to go to the full general membership. That might be
that would be
I would maybe leave it to the officers to go back to the membership, or us on the committee to go back to membership and get solicit input and then bring that back to this group.
Just to be clear for Dave and Paul and the SLR group, that the building committee now has 4 fire and EMS people on it, serving on it for purposes of this project. So Rich Hutchins and Tom Gutowski and Craig Robbins, who you can all see here, and Jerry Holland, who's I think the number ending in 17, are all affiliated with the building committee for purposes of this project, but specifically are, you know, they're the users, they're representing the users. And I understand greatly the need for getting a detailed input and consensus from those departments. But also remind you that a lot of time was spent doing that before, and we don't want to go back to square one. We want to work off what we've accomplished so far and refine it and get it as complete as efficiently as possible. So I think that that Craig and Tom and Rich and Jerry will be the ones to gather the information. Now then it becomes sort of as a practical matter, who do you want to meet with, and what's the schedule, and how do you make sure you go through things? But that's, I don't know that the whole committee has to participate in that discussion unless there's something we can do to help. Glenn can help facilitate contacts, and maybe it makes some sense to start with what's been done and say,
what needs to be changed?
You know, what are we thinking about differently, or what are we comfortable with? And, you know, some things may need a lot of attention, and other things may be copacetic already.
Yeah, I just know Jerry had discussed different, you know, modifications to it, changes, and again, it's the department that's going to have to live with the final product. So I just want to make sure that you know, everybody who should have some input in, into this, you know, has that input. Make sure that we get it early enough up front so that it can be incorporated and, you know, everybody's in support of the project. And just one other quick thing. David, at some point, you know, I'd like to see a schedule of starting mm-hmm. from when we would like to see this go out to bid, say in late November or first week in December, and working backwards. What are some of the, you know, the benchmarks we would have to make in order to meet that schedule? So we have some idea as we go through this process as to whether or not we're on schedule to, you know, meet that time period when we want to put it up to bid or not. That would be certainly helpful to me.
Yeah, we definitely could do that. I think, obviously, we could put together two scenarios. It depends on whether or not the option 5A is, you know, whether it's a different schedule. So happy to kind of prepare it either way if that helps on your decision making, or, you know, if you just want us to prefer with sort of the base piece and prepare that for the next meeting, we're able to kind of work out either scenario. But yes, definitely a schedule is needed. It keeps us on track. It obviously also keeps you knowing where we're expected to go with decision points that need to be made by the PMBC and so forth. So yes, we will prepare a schedule for your next meeting.
And actually, part of that schedule should include the time period by which it would be beneficial if we told you whether we were going design build or design bid build. Because I know, you know, we had talked about that and you know, what's the best approach. And we haven't done an AIA contract yet because they are very different if you're going design build or design bid build. And so I didn't want to do one based on, you know, design build, let's say, and then find out, you know, a month later we got to redo the whole thing because we're going design bid build. So we gave you the notice to proceed, but we are, you know, we'd like to move forward with the contract. So I just want to put out there that the sooner we can make that decision, I think the better. And I think at some point we're going to run up to a time frame when we kind of have to make that decision in order to move forward.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, our recommendation was it shouldn't go past task one, that's for sure. But regardless, task one needs to take place in either scenario. So that would be the point. If I was going to play out a schedule, that decision would have to be made really right at that, you know, right at that juncture to move it forward. I think it also is important because it also sets Dave Dixon and his land use approvals a bit in motion, you know, earlier. So, you know, we're sort of a little anxious to know how that's playing out just so we could also plan our team ahead. But again, if you wanted to look at a point when, I would say end of task one.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
When is task one going to end?
When we get the schedule.
Yeah, you know when you get the schedule. I mean, I envision it being, I would envision it at this point starting, being finished in probably mid-June. Is a timeline I think is reasonable for task one. About six weeks or so.
Okay, good. Let's see if other committee members have questions about the task one discussion so far, what's included in the material or Dave's comments.
So over that 6 week time frame, what do you think the meeting cadence would be in order to get the input from the department on uses and also, you know, kind of understand what the direction of the department is. I know even if your catastrophe is on this committee, and you know, I think it's going to be important for the MEP folks to understand how the department plans on purchasing apparatus in the future. So, Climovent or no Climovent kind of question, and other things that might do space planning, you know, relative to future purchases.
That's Jerry Holland, by the way, Dave, just so you know, it's Jerry.
Oh, okay, hi, Jerry.
Yeah, no, I agree. We would envision there would there needs to be probably 3 to 4 meetings related to programming. And Paul, jump in if you had some other thoughts or agree. I think there needs to be a first programming meeting just to go through that list. I envision these are an hour, no more than two. I mean, they really could probably be accomplished, at least the first one, in an hour, hour and a half, to go through that list. From there, we would.
If I could ask, do you have a checklist that you would like to distribute to the committee, and then we can take that back, work on it, and provide you with information in tranches that you can do work with?
Yeah, that's a great approach. We definitely can put together a checklist. Probably on the mechanical systems is a great one to with some questionnaires. So yes, we definitely can do that. As far as the programming piece of the spaces, I think what we just had up on the screen is a great example of kind of going through that list too and seeing if there are items that are missed or questions on square footage. Because you see a number on square footage, but you may want to ask us, what does that mean in terms of furniture? What are those dimensions? Things like that that may not be crystal clear in the floor plan. So our first meeting, our goal would be to just go through the program, hammer it out, and see if there's any things that which we're on the same page on, which ones need to change. And then from there, we'll come back, we'll adjust the plan, adjust the program, and come back for another meeting. And we'd like to do that prior to the next PNBC meeting, so at least that program is really shaped in the right way. And the hope is it's pretty close, but there may be some things that need to be adjusted. But as far as the questionnaires, yes, we could get that worked up pretty soon and get that off to the group.
And I think it's important, too, for the PNBC to provide some sort of overarching positions on things. You know, it is not a lead building, right? You mentioned sustainability a couple times. It needs to meet the energy code. The mechanical systems need to be robust so they have durability, as Ron said, as noted in the minutes. But they can't be so complex that we have to a PhD building engineer run them. And so you use the word simplicity, and that's important. So they need to be robust, they need to be code compliant, but not complex.
Agreed. Twice over. Sometimes, you get overcomplicated, and next thing you know, you're trying to maintain a Ferrari engine, and that's maybe an efficient Ferrari engine, but it's still a Ferrari engine, and we get that, especially with municipal buildings. So we'll put together the questionnaire. Yes, when I use sustainability, it's just making good design choices. The goal is not to. We will need to meet code. Code continues to get better. The new energy code, where they may set a goal is that we know that there's a new energy code coming up. Maybe we try to strive for a portion of that. We could have that discussion, but beyond that, we agree that the intent is not to be a LEED certification or so forth.
Yeah, and systems where we really try to leverage as much of the inherent technology in HVAC units to simplify controls packages, and not have a custom controls package, for example, and keep that as simple as possible. And there is definitely, there are great returns on good insulation. There's a point at which, it becomes, I don't want to say too much, but it's a challenge to, let's leave it at that. It makes sense to insulate, for sure. And the other thing I just wanted to ask, was there any kind of preconceived thought on this being a pre-engineered metal building, or is it local sourcing? Because we've seen, as you were talking about supply chain, a lot of locally fabricated products
2019 when we looked at this, the pre-engineered components were, you know, sourced fairly quickly, right? They were sort of cost effective. Your garage that you, the public works garage that was built in that manner, right? And, you know, they go up relatively quickly and so forth. So they are effective buildings. Sitting here in May of 2022, the cost of steel, we are seeing some projects where, as you said, precast or masonry, because the materials can be sourced locally, may provide a different benefit analysis here. So we do want to have that conversation with you, make sure we're not short-sighted on this, right? But what was originally proposed was in the context of a different world than we are in today. So we are questioning the choice of the structure as it relates to how we can source it and who's available to build it. And I think that's what you were referencing.
Yeah, that's great. That's perfect.
What's the best way to facilitate the communications, Glenn? Should Dave be in touch with you, or what do you think for setting up some time for task one communications?
Yeah, so if there's going to be, if we're going to meet with the group, we're going to meet with the officers, I think, if I heard Jerry right, if we could get the checklist that Dave talked about, and if I could have, the contact info for people, Jerry, we can set it up. That's going to have to be the first move. And then, the first meeting. And if there's going to be more than one, then we'll, you know, that group will meet a few times. And then,
I mean, I was going to say that, you know, we've got the benefit of, we have eight staff that comes, you know, that are full-time equivalents that work at several other locations. We have a staffing service that has people who work at lots of other locations. And, you know, when we get that checklist and that list of questions, we've already been doing it where we've been talking to people about what works and what doesn't work in other locations and lessons learned. And so we're happy to, you know, take that checklist and all of us go back and query people on it, you know, what is it working and not working at. I keep bringing up the example of using galvanized hollow metal frames, whether it's at the bay doors and any of the weapon spaces, because I can show you pictures of examples where that wasn't done, and to build an earth at all, the frames are rusting out. So little things that can be done in the spec and to make the building last longer that don't add a lot to the cost. And so, you know, getting that checklist is going to be really helpful for us to address it.
Yeah, so that sounds like that's the place to start, and then having the meetings, you know, in series after that. And then having, hopefully, at the next meeting, I'm assuming, some kind of decision that I think would have to be made on Task 5A, on whether this is going to be, you know, a design bid build project. But I think having all that information first is definitely going to, you know, make that easier decision to make either way.
I have a question about your prototype scanner. If a few of us come up with Silver about this program in between now and the next meeting, are we okay not having a public meeting on that, or what's the threshold for a conversation?
If you don't have a quorum, then you wouldn't need to have a legal notice and all those things. Once you have a quorum, then it becomes a public meeting.
Well, Bob, but they're not even meeting as building committee. They're meeting as the end users of the product, aren't they?
Again, if there's a quorum of this committee that's meeting, then it would be considered a meeting, because you're a quorum of this agency is meeting to discuss agency business. So I think they would consider that a meeting. If it's part of another you know, if you're saying, well, they're just members of another larger group, maybe. But if you know, I would be concerned if there was a quorum meeting, especially if it was just that quorum or that group and just a few other people. I think the argument would say that it's a quorum of this agency, and therefore it requires an agenda and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But well, I don't think you'd have a quorum there, would you?
I think there's only four, right?
How many have a quorum?
Only four. If this is an 8-committee meeting, you would need a majority, so that'd be 5. Right. So if you had 4, you're okay. So if it's just the firefighters on this particular committee, in EMS, then that would be fine. That would not be a quorum.
And they can have other people from fire and EMS.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, others can come in. That's fine. It's just the members of this particular committee. You know?
You comfortable with that, Craig?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we understood the ground rules before we go out.
Good.
Find out later on we were out of line.
I know. You want Karen there to help out, but she...
Whoa.
It's important, too, that any information that you gather as the four of you bring back to the committee. I know you will anyways, but bring back to the committee and just make sure that the whole committee discusses it. So when it comes time to make the decisions, everybody has that same fund of knowledge when you're making those decisions.
Will we develop any of the meetings? We're going to take meeting minutes, so we do that as part of our responsibility. So that'll be documented.
What else on task one? Because I think we should at least touch base on the others and also talk about delivery method. Any other specific things arise in the discussion of task one for anybody on the screen or on the phone? Task two, I don't know that we need to spend a lot of time on it. I just read through these, and I had a couple of other questions, but I don't want to curtail other people from... Do you think it warrants spending time on task two, David?
I think in your packet, the bulleted items that you see there, where these are, you know, we envision that this package is going to be similar to the DPW piece. You may recall that we prepared for this group. Some of them may remember. It's voluminous enough that it, you know, it starts to show the shape. It's hitting the overall design intent. We're producing plans. We are showing the layout, which includes all the firematic systems and equipment and so forth. It's really kind of just outlined in that narrative. There may be some schedules that go along with it. So it's, you know, it's really a hybrid, what we call a hybrid design development set, that's there. And this is kind of just the bullet items of what we're going to do in the planning stage.
Should there be somewhere in task two an acknowledgement that there's a demolition of the existing structure that has to be addressed?
Yeah, I agree. There would need to be a demolition plan outlined there. So, agree.
Okay. And stuff like solar adaptability, energy efficiency, those will come out in the details in there.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody want to say anything about task two at this point? So we're just going to at least touch base on each item here. Task three is evaluating modifying the site plan. I wasn't sure about the reference on the like fifth bullet down to a new ramp off Route 179. Does ramp just mean apron, driveway apron?
Yeah, I think that's what it... Yeah. I think that's what it's referring to.
Okay. I just was thinking about the ramp across the road as I got in that my head that hillside that we work with at DPW. So anybody have questions on task three they want to raise at this point? Task four is land use approvals and permitting.
Right. So task three and task four has a lot of the work that Dave Dixon and Jason will be working on from SLR. Yep. This is mainly land use work.
Yeah.
You may want some of that to run concurrent with task three, because you're going to be talking about some of these decisions. So there may want to be some overlap there, and I guess we could talk about it when we get into task two.
Yep.
But there are some items that really overlap there that can't truly be separated. But we'll talk about that as we move forward.
I think that's right. Those are all conversations to have together in three and four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think getting a list of all the approvals that are required throughout the project as soon as possible is really helpful in understanding the influencers on the project and the time constraints and things like that that go with it.
Yeah, so Glenn, Paul will work with you on kind of timing of town meetings and submission dates and so forth, so we get that built into the schedule.
Yeah.
Right.
There's that state form 330L that is a great checklist for uncovering all those evils.
And does that cover local as well as state?
Yeah, generally it does.
Okay. That sounds like worth looking at. Let's talk about five. Five and five alternate and 5A.
So really what five does is it takes most of the work in task two and now formulates it into a written specification and a bit more defined finishes, detail, hardware. Now it really builds a narrative that describes each of those systems in a written format, and it really just works in tandem with the bridging documents from task number two. For example, on the HVAC, as we mentioned at the bottom, lighting, we will establish minimum foot candle levels for each of the spaces. We will talk about controls of lighting on the mechanical systems, and we'll talk about the number of units, type of units, and also describe, you know, the controls and so forth. So this task number five, it takes it in, as we call it, a specification piece. That's really what you're doing. And then the bid document of that, the front, what we call the front end, and that's all of the contractual language and level of responsibility, all in the context of the AIA document, which would then be a design build contract there for the design builder to take it from that point.
Right. So talk, David, about that piece that you've just described and is what we expect when we talk about design build docs and five. What you are now breaking out on what's our page five, task five alternate, and task 5A.
Yes. Yeah, so the difference between task five that we have up on and task 5A is that within task five, the work is, not every detail is, in task 5A, every detail is articulated, every wall section, every door jamb, every window sill, those are all drawn in detail.
Yep.
All the conditions of the foundation design, all of that is fully designed and fully specified with every product and every performance component of it.
Yeah.
In task five, we are really providing the quality of the work that's there, but we're not getting into every specific detail that's situated. That's a difference. We're still describing it. So that's what we're doing. We're mainly describing the work that's there, and that's supported by plans to show the shape and, you know, so you can take off the quantity. It shows every door and where it's located, all the windows. There are wall sections, but it's not a enlarged wall section that gets into every particular flashing condition. The narrative describes it and says you need to have flashing at these conditions and so forth. So that's the, it gets you, we look at it, it sort of gets you about 75% there in task five. 5A takes you now to the full completion, in which that would all be done in one, you know, one comprehensive set of plans.
And why? What's 5A under 5 alternate? Go down that page.
So the task 5, the task 5A, hold on, let me just, I need to look at my schedule just to make sure that we had it correct on. I'm talking about. So there's a task 5 and there's a task 5 alternate, which what you have. I think task 5A is the alternate. So there's not a separate 5 and 5A.
Okay.
Okay. I just.
That's what it looked like to me. I just wanted to make sure. I'm often not following everything. So 5 is design, build, and 5A, which includes on this page 1 5 alternate and 1 5A, is design, bid, build, and you've yes. explained those well, and I appreciate that. And you know that we've noodled over this and confronted this question in the past, specifically through various grappling with the DPW over the years. And I think you know how we wound up with that. And it's good to be looking at it again. And I think we want to, and we know we have to make a decision. And we have talked somewhat among ourselves as a building committee about the alternatives of design, bid, build, and design, build. We also know that what you do varies depending on the project and may even be affected by the construction climate. So it would be useful to have you, I think, to talk a little bit about how you see the alternative delivery methods affecting this project and the kinds of things that you think we as a building committee should take into consideration.
Yeah, so you talk about the times that we're in. I think it's streamlining a design process, right? So you question, you know, where's the level of responsibility? Who are the team members that are sort of sharing in and, you know, taking on that level of responsibility? Tasks 1 through 5 take you to a place, and then you're transferring that liability onto a design build team, right? But that design build team now needs to take everything that was done, and now you need somebody to stamp that and take the responsibility of that piece, and they also need to finalize the last piece of design, and they have to work with the supply chain issues, and they have to make those choices. In the traditional method of design, bid, build, in the public realm, they're given the choices, and that's what they're bidding on, and your number is there. So there's a bit of a much more of a linear approach in the design, bid, build scenario. So from a timeline, if you begin to look at it, there's going to need to be a gap when it's handed over to the design build team, because they're going to need to bring a designer on, and then they're going to need to take some time and then to work on it. In the traditional bid period, whether it's 4 weeks or 6 weeks, those general contractors are already sort of looking at that, and they're putting a hard number to you. So you know that sooner than you will later with the design build team. So I think that's the real disconnect here, or that's the major difference that I see, is that you're able to consolidate the decision making, which is important because materials and cost escalation is sort of somewhat unpredictable. So the shorter you can condense the design project and get out the bid, you will then know what your overall cost and, you know, budget and timeline is. So those, to us, that's the major difference, is that gap between the handoff of responsibility from 1 through 5 to design build. Hopefully that makes sense.
Can I ask you a question, dude? I'm looking at the bid form that's part of the packet.
Yes.
If we do accept CAS 5 alternate, I'm assuming that's in place of the CAS 5 that's stated. So in lieu of
yes.
the 21.5, so the net add is 68.9. It's not a total add of 90,400.
It was, that is correct.
So it's either okay. 5 or 5A.
It's either right. 5 or 5A. Yes, that we were calling it 5A. So yes, 5 alternate. That is correct.
Yeah, it's all in if it's Task 5, or it's all in if it's Task 5 alternate. So the net difference between the two is 68.9. And that's important
right.
to know.
Yes, correct.
So, perfect. Thank you. You got a blind squirrel, right?
Dave Stein, what do you see as the from your perspective of running one of these things to a project like this to completion? Do you think the control and over time and information is more valuable than the what do you get if you go with design build besides less cost up front? Why would you go with design build here? Why would you go with design bid build?
I think design bid build, there's the continuity that's needed because you're working. It's a very specific program that you have with emergency service facilities, which are a little different than TPW, right? You know, the main function, you have specific equipment that has ancillary. So, for example, the apparatus, you have air for your air brakes, you have power that trickle charging, you have water and tank fill connections that need to be there. There's very specific items that go into it, and the choice of those and selection of the final materials need to be validated by the same team that specified them, okay? Because you're not just making a value-based decision, meaning the cost of it, you're also making sure it performs well back to the earlier discussion on sort of durability and system. So that's where I think the value comes into play, is that continuity. And then it really goes into construction to make sure that the quality is there and that same team that was listening to that first meeting that we had to talk about, you know, air vent is the same group that's out there with the contractor saying, no, that needs to be positioned directly over this bay because this is where we plan to, you know, place this apparatus. That continuity, I think, is important and has value. Now, it can't be achieved with the design bid team, but you're gonna take a little bit of a step backwards with that group because they're really just working with those bridging documents and sort of that last task and what's narrated to them. So they're going to need to get up to speed with you again, and now you have a different team to work with. Because it's all specifics, I think that's the difference. And I think Bob Skinner asked me the question, how many of these are design build? And we do both, but mostly on the fire piece of it, especially career hybrids with career and volunteers, most of these are design bid build. I think mainly because we're streamlining and working with the committee, because you live through the progress of the project. But we've done it. We've done smaller ones that are just been design build, and that it also works. You know, as your experience, it also is an effective way of doing it. Jerry, you're hard to hear.
I'm sorry. Do either of the options for Class 5 include CA?
No.
Okay.
No, and I did clarify that with Glenn, and the RFP it actually clarified to exclude CA.
That's what I understand. And is there a difference in CA between design bid build and design build? If you were brought on to analyze the design build or somehow represent the town as a CA in that, would there be a difference in the cost?
Yeah, that's where there's probably the value that you begin to get out of it, because the contractor is reviewing their own work. There's not as much second eyes looking over them because they're managing that. Now, their design, the responsibility of the designer is there to answer technical questions, but not to provide the oversight, not to attend the weekly meetings, not to review the shop drawings, because they're developing their own shop drawings. So that's where the major savings is, and that's a good point, is on the CA side. That's where you definitely see the savings. Is the amount of time.
So we lose the representation, though, too.
You do, but some clients do have staff that are qualified to provide that oversight and to be part of the process and have built buildings similar to that and can provide that expertise and such. So that's why some clients do move to the design bid build method, because there is some cost savings on the construction side from the architect and engineer of record. Now, you still need an architect of engineer record to be involved enough. Building code requires it, that it is signed off by the architect and engineer, the registered architect and engineer, but that could be general oversight coming at, you know, various stages throughout the project. It does not require somebody to be there on a weekly basis. So
it can also do design bid build, but build could be CM, right?
And the build could be the construction manager. The advantage of the construction manager is to bring them in earlier. So I think that's really, if you were going to consider a construction manager, which I think this project is probably too small for, they come in early and start putting together pre-construction phasing, which there is some phasing piece, but it's not overly complicated. It's usually when you're on a school project or something like that, where there's a lot of logistic plans that need to take place or have the ability to potentially pre-order work. Maybe there's a pre-abatement phase that needs to take place. That's where they provide a lot of value, and they provide an independent estimate. In this case, I'm not sure this project would fit in that model. Typically, it's with a general contractor.
So if the delivery method was design, bid, build, and your proposal doesn't have contract administration, you're saying we could either do it ourselves or increase the expense and hire somebody to do that?
Correct. You are going to need. There will be some other ancillary services beyond anything even the architect of record provide. Special testing is required, you know, special inspections and so forth. That's required for the building code. So you're going to need some other professional services too during that period. So, yeah.
I'm glad you started to capture those on the other costs. He started to get those. I am curious, within the design bid build approach, your test 5A, would there be any delegated design within your scope of services?
No, the only, if there was the pre-engineered building, that's technically sort of a delegated design, but we provide all the loading design criteria and so forth. So there's really, that would be the only thing that I would consider to be a delegated design. Everything else would be under the responsibility. Maybe on the site piece, there's a stormwater management system that sometimes, like a vortex system or something, I'm thinking of just off the top of my head, that sort of naturally always design, delegated design, but no, mostly that is all our responsibility.
I mean, like, I get it, you know, pipe hangers and spring isolators and stuff, normal delegated design stuff. Nothing of substance in the job.
That is correct. Vibration isolation and things like that.
Hey, Peter, this is Ron. I have a question for Bobby Martin. Is he here? Is he on?
Yeah, Bob. You want to unmute, Bobby?
Yep, I'm here.
Bobby, when we booked the town garage, did you have submittals issued to you for review? Did anybody do that?
I'm not quite sure what you're asking me.
Well, product submittals, like HVAC unit, top drawings, stuff like that. Did the town in that?
We did. I would say it's a design build. Wouldn't you think, Bob?
Design build. They were reviewed by Peter, the architect, and George. I mean, George was an engineer, and he reviewed most of the plans. So that's kind of the process that it went through. Remember, in that case, it was with Millennium. Peter ended up actually contracting with our original architect. And so, you know, we had Charlie there who was the architect. Then we had George who, you know, was an engineer and had the ability to review the plans.
Would you consider, Bob, that we have the personnel to review submittals and shop drawings if we decided to go design build?
No, I think we'd probably end up either relying on them or having somebody come in. I would say so. And if we do go design, bid, build, I would say we probably would contract with the architect to do the construction management part of it. Construction administration.
Thank you.
How about questions from other people at this point about the alternatives in Task 5? Bobby or Glenn, you guys were happy with design, build.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. Whether it's DPW or a fire station, I think when you guys meet and you go over your needs and uses, ask yourself this one simple question. How do I avoid saying in the future, I wish we had done this differently? If you just use that simple thought process, you'll be looking at the here and the later. And it'll help you guys to determine what you need. We went into it, George and I, Bob, asking ourselves that constantly, you know, so that we would avoid saying, geez, I wish we had done that differently. So that would be my only thought on when you get together. That could really help you out.
Well, do you see an advantage to one delivery method or the other in terms of assuring that for a project like this one across the street?
One thing that, because I did talk to Dave a little bit about this in depth, because I was curious as to, you know, the best approach to take.
we did a design-build, or at least part of it, with the DPW garage. Not the one we actually built, but the one we started prior to that on Commerce Drive. And I was surprised at the amount of design work that was done, you know, for that, just to get to the part where we could put it out to bid, where supposedly the contractor coming in had the flexibility to, you know, modify things, and if there was a way to do savings, then they could put that into their bid proposal. But still, the designs were very, very specific. We didn't have that when we did the DPW graduate linear. You know, we had a much more simpler design, much more simpler product. And the Millennium's credit, they were able to take it and run with it. And I think by all accord that we, you know, especially looking a year or so back, turned out very, very well. I don't think that's the same situation here. Speaking to Dave, and Jerry's brought up a number of times, there are differences between the DPW facility and the fire station. The fire stations have much different needs, much more specific needs. Much of DPW is more in line with a warehouse. And again, I'm not to belittle the importance of it. They're both extremely important. They're just different facilities. Yeah. And the fire stage is much more specific to a specific need. It's much greater code requirements. And so, you know, you've got to make sure that the plans are specific enough to order to accomplish those you know, specific parts of that project. And, you know, the best way to do that may be, you know, design, bid, build, because it does give you that control. You are allowed to put those specifics in the plans. And it gives you that oversight, especially the oversight with somebody who's, you know, been involved in 50 fire stations before. So, you know, I can see, I do certainly like the cost benefits of design, build. I definitely like the BZIQC process. I thought that worked very, very well. But with this particular project, you know, I can also see the benefits of the design, bid, build, and the control that it gives you, and the ability to make sure that you get all the requirements that are needed in a fire station, and, you know, get them right the first time around.
Well, points well taken. I see it shaping up that way too, based on what I'm hearing, and I was impressed at how well things went with the DPW, watching it vicariously. I wonder if there's some way to measure or estimate what the financial difference would be, because we do have a tight budget and escalating material costs. And I don't know if there is, but I know we started considering design build when we started losing funding for the DPW. We did not start out with a design-build concept originally.
And Peter, if I may, you know, one of the principles within lean construction is, in business, we always talk about CBAs, you know, cost-benefit analysis, but in lean construction, which really tries to bring the best out of all the parties that are involved in the job, the term stands for choosing by advantage. And if you do that, you don't do a pros and cons list. You only look at the positives for either delivery method. And I think the most significant positive, as Bob Skinner was saying, I think very eloquently, was there are very specific needs, regulatory needs, different from other building types. We am to FDA, to DPH, OEMS, and all those have specific influences on the process. Those are somehow overlooked in the design build process. It's hard to recover from that.
Right. Understood. I think that's very important consideration. Of course, anybody who takes on who's the winning design builder has got to make representations about compliance with the same regulatory expectations that Silver Petrocelli and a contractor would as well, right? But either way, we're relying on a professional representation that those standards are going to be met.
Right. majority of fire stations and EMSs, those are built to back, they'll be hard pressed to find as a resume as deep as SBA.
Yeah, I see that. I'm not trying to talk us out of it. I'm just trying to talk it.
I think you did see from our qualification package, or we may have provided during our presentation, that we designed the Eastern Fire Academy project, which was part of the state of Connecticut. It's in Willimantic. It was a $15 million project. It was multiple buildings on campus, from a training facility to an apparatus bay where they did store their equipment, and had much of the similar equipment that was in there. That was design build. The state actually had four projects. I think they ended up only building three of them at the end of the day, and they were experimenting with the design build method. That did work well. We did that with Carlin Construction. They were called it the prime, and we were the designer as part of that, but they held the primary contract. So that was an effective way. I'm not sure how you measure the difference between that. Frankly, for the work that we had to do on that unique project, our design effort was probably the same, with the exception of a bit more savings on the construction piece of it, because we just weren't there at every single meeting along the way, but we were there enough to make sure that the work was being done as we needed, because the contractor relied on us to come out there and, you know, check things out and, you know, provide that insight that they just didn't have that experience with. But I do agree, it's going to be hard to find a contractor that may have built three or four design build firehouses, you know, roughly 14,000-15,000 square feet. Most of them are the traditional method.
Right. Okay. Are there other comments, questions about task five and the alternates?
I do have one, and it's not really relevant. This picture that you have down here is just for information purposes. It has nothing to do with this project, correct?
We were filling up the page, Karen.
That's all? Okay.
It's an example. I think it's one of our...
It was
our Wallingford... That was an early sketch of Wallingford that we did with Millennium. So I think that's why we showed that, just as for some continuity. But it, other than that, it was just a graphic on the page.
Scratched my head.
Dave didn't think you'd notice that.
I'm glad you did.
Well, what is this? Did I miss a meeting? Is this an example?
Look. Are people ready to talk a little bit about non-construction costs, page 8?
I just have one question for Dave Steinpeter. This is Ron.
Go ahead, Ron.
Dave, you mentioned, are you going to put together a schedule for both methods of delivery?
I talked about that early on. I said we could run that scenario if you would. You would like to see the difference. I'd have to work with Glenn on kind of how that would work administratively with bidding and procurement. But if you'd like us to kind of simulate that, yeah, we could work on that if that matters.
Even if you did it up to task five, it'd give us, I think, a good idea where we need to be, as Bob Skinner earlier said.
Oh, yeah, definitely going to give it to you up to task five, absolutely. By the next meeting, we'll have a schedule to articulate that.
And I think we can discuss at that point how much longer for task 5A if we decide to go that route.
Yeah.
Thank
you. You're welcome.
Anything else at this point on task five or one through five? Well, why don't we take a minute and look at the non-construction cost compiled by, I think, probably Bobby and Glenn, and see if there are questions about this and what shape you guys think this is in terms of refinement. Where'd you get this list, Glenn?
So this was a list that was compiled May of last year. It's definitely been in your packets. It was in the presentation, a PowerPoint. So yeah, everybody's seen this. Nothing's really changed. I'm sure some things probably need to.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Because I see a couple of items that we have talked about since then that may be either removed or changed.
Yeah, and actually, I did receive an email from Peter, and I got it from Jerry Holland. There's a couple of questions that he had.
Are we still needing the internal monitoring?
Yeah, that was question number one.
The second one I had was architectural and engineering services for $61,000 and $50,000. Are we still? Is that in addition to what we are with, or is this part of it? It's architectural engineering services.
I think we used the list that we worked off of for DPW, and in that project we had split it. Mm-hmm. So this list, a lot of these items were what we ended up spending.
Okay.
If you remember, when we first started this list, it was a little more expensive, and we whittled it down, so
you're probably going to have to
look at it.
Yeah. It just needs to be updated, I think.
Yeah.
And things like the top line surveys, there's nothing there. Is that because that's in the cost of the project? Are those construction costs now?
The A2 and the T2 survey?
Yeah, that's a good question. Those were, I don't recall there ever being a number there, so.
Right.
I think at one point someone said there had already been a survey performed. I can remember that far back.
There was some property information that BSC Group had on the property that extended across. So I had some base information, and I think that was done when you did DPW, but I don't know if it encompassed every aspect of the property line. But I definitely have a CAD file from BSC.
Would that property have been surveyed for the fire station? For the, the police station?
Yeah. That's possible. I think it just had some other mapping because they extended across. But it may have been more road information and such.
We're probably not fully in.
I didn't see furniture and fixtures showing up anywhere.
We actually took that out. It's down below. It says interior equipment, miscellaneous interior equipment.
Yeah.
To try and hit a number, we really gutted this whole non-construction summary. So it will need to be updated.
Didn't Paul Jorgensen actually do something more comprehensive on non-construction costs for us a couple of years ago? Didn't you guys give us a pretty comprehensive?
I think we tried to put together something that included most of these items. I guess we'll have to go back to our original study to see what was included in that, although I don't know if we had all the costs that you have here, but we can compare it and see what we had.
Yeah, I'm not thinking the costs were necessarily anything other than preliminary then or nor are they here. I just think we need to be working on a list that is more reliable, and we could bring the benefits of what we've done before from both this project and Bobby's work on DPW, because we know there obviously there's a lot of stuff to cover. So.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking that Sylvan Petrus Shelby can help us with that.
Yes, we can.
Bobby went back and looked at what they wound up in the actual when they completed the work across the street. We're going to learn from that, but we're going to need other things here too. Fire and EMS.
Yep.
So I think we should probably regard this as something that needs more work and not spend a lot of time on it now. Although I know Jerry did have a bunch of specific questions. Do you want to talk about them now, Jerry, or should we wait until this list gets more refined?
No, I think, you know, I sent it to you and to Glenn, and as we move forward and expand the list, you know, just to try to make sure we capture all those items and account for them. Whether it's God costs, you know, part of the construction costs, or us, the town, we can continue to build that list and let the whole team see it on the design side and town side and everything.
Yeah. I think it'll work in concert, parallel with other stuff that we're doing. Okay.
Peter, I did. I went to look in our file, and I have it here. We did have an itemized soft cost list that we generated. It dates back to 2019. So we'll send that over to you to take a look at. It was listed as placeholder to be determined, but it did assign value. So, you know, for example, commercial kitchen equipment, for whatever reason, was just listed at zero, but talked about stainless steel equipment, but it had value for a phone system, security system, the Zetron system, which is the dispatch card access. It did list computers, display monitors, AV equipment, which were projectors and smart boards, radio equipment, wash bay cleaning equipment. There was a furniture and fixture number, and then there were even other sort of professional services separate from that. Geotechnical borings, service connections, which would be connections in the street, special inspections, a commissioning agent, and that would be a third-party one if you were interested in bringing them on board. We had zero for a clerk of the works, but it was listed, and we excluded any bonding or financing fees. Any builder's risk insurance is at zero, legal fees, and then the state traffic approval piece, because there's usually some costs associated with that. So we have that.
I can't hear you.
Send that to you, and you know, maybe you want to merge that in with your DPW list, and maybe that's probably a good start.
Okay, good. And that'll be, I mean, you had done it based on some time spent with the departments, but that'll probably be refined by further input from fire and EMS.
Christian, what'd you say?
It went down and then it went back up. Oh.
Well, that sounds good. It looks like we've reached the end of the agenda.
It sounds like it.
On the fire station project, unless people have nothing. Other comments.
So at our next meeting, we will be deciding if it's design bid or design build.
I think that's realistic, don't you?
I think so too.
I think we should buy that.
Yeah,
I agree. I need to decide.
Okay, you're right with that, Bob Skinner?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to make that threshold decision better.
Yeah. Well, it was good to have this conversation and everybody's input. I'd like to percolate it a little bit and figure we'll try to make a decision in the June meeting.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So just to confirm, the four of us that are also department members, between now and the June meeting, we're going to be getting feedback from the rest of the department and hooking up with Silver to go over that. Is that correct?
Yeah, the way I understand it is exactly that, that Jerry suggested that if Silver Petrocelli can generate some information checklist for what they need from you guys in terms of input, it'll make it easier for you to gather it, and then you four members of the building committee who are also affiliated with the department can decide the best way to call the information. I'm sure you'll feel some of it you've already been over, and then the way I understand it is there needs to be some time for some exchange of information with Silver Petrocelli a couple of times if possible in the next month as well. I don't know if that time frame works for everybody, but that's what I was understanding, but I really would leave it up to Dave and Paul and Glenn and you four to figure out the best way to have your communications.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, do you want to take point on working with David on that checklist?
They could send over, and you know, we can be polling people. We can look at the understand that the plan will change, but looking at it for the functional spaces, making sure that we, as Bobby said, you know, we wish we had done something. But we need to talk to AC Bunnell about the EMS support, because we are, you know, at a paramedic level, we have things that we have to keep secure, and you know, spare gear and things like that. So, and I think the holistic view of the town, how the other stations are used, or where we store things, getting that doped up so that, you know, we have a real good view. So, yes, if I send that information to Glenn and to the team, then we can work together, and then we'll consolidate back, get it back to him.
Yeah, that makes the most sense, Jerry. That's a good idea.
There's four of us. I want to make sure we can get off the call, and I'll assume somebody else was doing something.
Right.
And we're back here next month with no action, so.
Right. No, that's the real critical detail work that you guys are going to do that's going to make this work.
And I'll be in touch with David, on a regular basis throughout this whole process, leading up to the next meeting too. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think the next 4 weeks, actually the next 3 weeks, are pretty critical for us to do our homework, so that David and his team have time to react to or respond to, I should say. So, Craig, are working on.
You're not going to stop talking on June 7th, though. That would be good opportunities. Okay, so we don't have invoices to spend time on item 5. Chairman's report is simply to remind people we've got a meeting June 7th, which is a Tuesday. Anything further in terms of staff report?
Nothing.
Bob, Glenn?
Peter, I do have one important thing to add. While you were talking, I did check Robert's rules. You are free to adjourn the meeting as chairman. You do not need a vote.
I'm so glad to know that, because...
You've been doing it for how many years?
All right, then I'm going to do it. Hey, Ron, you're late to the meeting, Ron. Forget about it.
Yeah, I don't want that going in your head, Peter, but you know, I just thought you'd want to know.
Forget about it. I'm not the host of the meeting, so it's really, I feel impotent. But I will adjourn the meeting at 8:47. Thank you, one and all. Thanks, Silver and Petrocelli, SLR.